Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this first day of September, Labor Day weekend. It is wonderful that we can be gathered together today to receive God's promises. We have a couple of announcements as we begin today. First announcement is me admitting that I messed up just a little bit. In your newsletter that came out last week, the schedule for Missions Fest was wrong. And that was my fault. I sent the wrong schedule. So the schedule for Missions Fest, the correct schedule, is in the bulletin, where it's going to be service, potluck, and then missionary presentation after the potluck. I believe in your newsletter I accidentally put that it was Sunday school hour was the presentation. Sunday school will remain as normal. We will have the missionary presentation afterwards. Other announcements as we begin then. Cemetery cleanup is this coming Saturday at 8 a.m. If you want to keep any cemetery decorations, please have them removed before Saturday. That is church cleanup this coming Saturday at 8 a.m. Fall Festival is going to be Friday and Saturday. Our congregation is in charge of Saturday's ice cream and pop station from 11 to 7. And we need any of this is not quite up to date, somebody can tell me. We are still in need of a quilt to be donated for the auction on Saturday afternoon. And we are still in need of pies for that weekend. Is all of that still correct? I'm looking at Virginia.
We have the quilt.
Do we still need the pies? We still need one fruit pie. If somebody wants to make one fruit pie for the auction, please let Virginia or Diane know.
Also, it starts at 10, not 11.
It starts at 10 a.m., not 11 a.m. Thank you, Carol. So on both those days, or for our ice cream and pop station, it begins at 10 a.m. Other announcements then. Today marks 45 years since Don and Donnie Steiner got married today, and we want to congratulate them for such a great achievement. 45 years. And then final announcement today then is that the Youth Center is looking for volunteers to help with their after school program. Yes, their after school program. They had 41 kids the other day, which is a lot. So they could use some help out there if you are looking for a place to help out in town. Are there any other announcements as we begin today?
No parish ed.
That's right. That was the other announcement that I forgot to write down. Parish ed meeting for tomorrow is no longer happening. There is no parish ed this month. Meetings will resume in October. Thank you. Any other announcements? All right. In that case, we will begin our worship service today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come into your house today asking that you would be gracious to us, that you would be leading and guiding us, and that your word would be the center point of this service today. Bless us as we go forth and allow us to rejoice in your name. Amen. Our call to worship today is Psalm 119, verses 129 to 136. I will invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship. Let us read it responsibly. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments.
Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name.
Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me.
Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts.
Make your face shine upon your servants, and teach me your statutes. Let us remain standing as we sing our opening hymn, hymn number 183, All Creatures of Our God and King, number 183. May be seated. Our order of service now continues on page 2 of your ambassador hymnal. Let us now bow before God in full knowledge of His grace and His mercy and confess to Him our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy and ask you, for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace may come to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the Father in heaven, have mercy upon us. have mercy upon us. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It is because of promises like this from the Word of God and from the mouth of God Himself that I declare to you today that your sins are forgiven. Amen. At this time, let us sing Just As I Am Without One Plea. You may remain seated. 417. Now at this time, I will invite you to stand out of respect for the reading of God's Word.
The Old Testament lesson from today is from Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 2 and 6 through 9. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live, and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. The epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned in Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
And our, excuse me. And our gospel lesson for today is Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 23. And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then you are also without understanding. Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within the heart comes, from within the heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." Here ends the reading of God's word. God be praised. At this time, let us confess our holy Christian faith with the Church of all times and in all places. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins,
dead,
and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Seated. At this time, I will call forth our ushers to receive our morning offering. At this time, let us bow before the Lord as we pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in your grace and mercy, you have brought us together today. Lord, we ask that you would be refining us as though through fire, that we would live our lives as those who have come to know of the forgiveness of our sins, that we would rejoice in that fact each and every day, that we would glorify you in all that we say and do, and that we would be lights to this darkened world. Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless and keep us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come and receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we ask that you would be causing us to have penitent hearts, that you would prepare us for the reception of the Lord's Supper, that we would come rejoicing in this great gift. Lord, we pray for those in our congregation who are in need. We pray for our shut-ins, including Juanita, Diane, Joanne, and Delbert. For those who are in need of healing, we pray for Gordon, Linda, Ezra, Deanna, Tim, Grayson, Norm, Brecken, Danielle, Robert, Francis, Terry, Casey, Michael, Ty, and Ed. For the children on our cradle roll, we pray that you would be with Willa, Claire, Rowan, Creed, Lane, Waylon, Elena, and Madeline. For the men on our council, we ask that you would keep Keith, Steve, Dane, Stu, and Doug. Lord, we pray today for our nation and our government, for the world leaders and all those who are in authority. We thank you of the freedoms we have here in America. We thank you for the gifts that you've given to us as a people. We ask that we would turn to you in repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we pray that those who lead would lead with honor and equity. We ask that we as believers, regardless of who fills the White House, regardless of who takes that spot, would honor our president and our governors, that we would pray for them, that we would trust in your guidance on their lives. Lord, we pray for those who are in the military and their families. We ask that you would be keeping them safe, allowing them to trust in your grace, and giving them your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the 45 years of love that you have given to Don and Donna. We ask that you would give them many more years together. We thank you for their marriage as a testimony to all of us that marriage is something that is called to last. Lord, we ask that you would be guiding and leading and keeping us this day. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. Let us now sing "Search Me, O God," number 478. You may be seated. Good morning again. Our sermon this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 23. Continuing our walk through the book of Ephesians, we think now of our life as believers. I read in Jesus' name. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former nature of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Pray with me now. Almighty God, these are your words, and your word is truth. Sanctify us today in that truth. Convict us of sin in our lives where that is necessary. Comfort and encourage us with the promises of your gospel. In your name we pray. Amen. We start today at the end of our passage. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. We start here because this is what we must remember as we speak on the rest of this passage. We start here because it is important for us to understand and know that Paul gives all these commands to you, Christian. Paul gives all these words. Paul gives all of this to you in knowledge that you have been forgiven by Christ Jesus, that you have been redeemed, cleansed, and created new by the body and blood of Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. That in fact, all of these things that might be tougher to hear, you must hear. You must know and you must understand because you are a Christian. You are one whom God has called and redeemed and loved. Our passage today speaks of what is known as sanctification. And sanctification is the Holy Spirit working in your life day by day through daily repentance and the forgiveness of sins to make you more holy. To break that down a little bit more, sanctification is the daily dying to your sins while you love your neighbor in an imperfect manner. Each and every day, you are called to do two things: love God and love your neighbor. Each and every day, you will strive to do these things. Each and every day you will fail and fall into sin, and each and every day you must die to your sins. You must confess your sins to God and hear from him and receive from him the absolute and utter forgiveness of those sins time and time again. That is the process of sanctification. Paul here writes this to the believers in Ephesus, knowing that they are not going to do it perfectly. that in fact you, as a sinful human being, will continue to be angry and sin. That like the Gentiles, you will continue to practice every kind of impurity. You will give yourself up to sensuality and greed. That you will steal, be it through outright theft or be it through laziness. That there will be corrupting talk coming out of your mouth. That you will in fact grieve the Holy Spirit. That you will be bitter, wrathful, angry, clamorous, slanderous, and malicious. And I say this to you not to kick a dog when he's down, but I say this to you to show you the reality of the situation you live in. You, dear Christian, are not perfect. In fact, you are far from perfect. I am far from perfect. Because these sins that Paul refers to here are sins that daily and regularly afflict us. They are sins that we struggle with each and every hour. During communion, we're going to sing, "I Need Thee Every Hour." And that song is very fitting, because the reality is each and every hour of your life, you are going to be guilty of sin, and God is going to desire forgiveness for you and will give you forgiveness each and every hour, each and every minute. The fact is that your God has a desire for you to know the forgiveness so well, so intimately, so amazingly, that these evil and greedy practices are an affront to you the moment you recognize them. What is the way you learned Christ? My genuine hope is that the way that you learned Christ is that you learned that Jesus Christ suffered, died, and rose again for the forgiveness of all of your sins. That is the way you should learn Christ. That is the way that I teach your children how to learn Christ. Because that is the way that Christ desires us to know Him. That Christ is your risen Savior, your conquering King, your Lord and God. And that He suffered, died, and rose again so that all of your evil, greedy, malicious, and whatever other words Paul wants to use in this passage, all of your evil hearts might be cleansed and purified by Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there now, does it? Because even though Paul explicitly tells us time and time again about the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, yet there is still a role that you will fulfill in your life. Because like it or not, you live in a world with other people. Like it or not, there's somebody who sits beside you or behind you or in front of you. Like it or not, there's people you interact with on a daily basis that you must make a decision about. Are you going to treat them as the Jews treated the Gentiles in bitterness and hatred, sinning against them and thinking there's nothing wrong with sinning against them? Or are you going to show them love that befits them as a precious, eternal, human soul desperately in need of the gospel? How you learned Christ will impact the way that you approach this question. Because if you learned Christ as a wise teacher who gives us some good advice, then why would I listen to those things of His I don't want to hear? If you learned Christ as a miracle maker, who was a created being of God, something less than God, who couldn't forgive our sins, then why in the world would you proclaim the forgiveness of sins to others? Why in the world would you live as though your sins are forgiven? If you learned Christ as anything other than your eternal Savior, who forgives all of your sins by His death and resurrection on the cross, you will fundamentally have issues with this idea of living the Christian life. Because if Jesus Christ did not forgive all of your sins, then why in the world are you listening to Him in the first place? Why in the world would you even try? And so we go back. Assuming that you have heard of the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't, I'll say it again. Jesus Christ suffered, died, and rose again to forgive you all of your sin and iniquity. Now, assuming that you have heard of Jesus, that you were taught, that you know the truth of Jesus Christ, then you are called, as you interact with your neighbor, as you go about life, interacting with people as you're going to do, then you're going to do it knowing that this is a precious, eternal human soul desperately in need of love and forgiveness. And you're going to show them that love. Rather than bitterness, maliciousness, contempt, greed, thievery, instead you are going to do what is best for your neighbor. You are going to help them, care for them, pray for them, visit them when they're sick or in prison, bind them up when they're by the roadside. You can see parables of Jesus as you think of your love for your neighbor in the Good Samaritan. Speaking the truth to your neighbor, not sugarcoating the detriment of their position, but rather in love, understanding that they are a precious, eternal human soul. In love, you give them the truth of the gospel. The truth that their sin, their bitterness, their contempt, their anger has also been nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. The new life as a Christian, the Christian life, the sanctified life, is a life that you live knowing full well what Jesus did for you. And in rejoicing, in recognition of that, in celebration of that, going and showing love to your neighbor. Now again, are you going to do it perfectly? No. Absolutely not. Because you still living in this world means that you are still stricken with the effects of sin. That the temptation of sin will overcome you. That the heartbreak of sin will hit you. And so what do you do when you sin? What do you do when everything that you try and do is not good enough? What do you do when all of a sudden you're face to face with the reality that you can't do it? You go to God. You crawl to the foot of the cross and you receive those words of forgiveness time and time again from Jesus Christ. That it's not just the Jews' sins. It's not just the people from Jesus' time. It's not just the people who are really, really good at this Christian life. But it's your sins that have been forgiven. It's your failures that have been cleansed. And then the circle continues. One of my favorite movies is The Lion King. And the circle of life can be kind of very well applied to this. Not that you die and suddenly your body goes to nourish others. But instead that your life is a continuous circle of living your life in love for your neighbor, failing at that and coming to Christ, receiving His forgiveness, and then the circle completes as you go out and continue living your life out of love for your God and your neighbor. The Christian life will continue in this cycle each and every day until one day God calls you home. This circle of the Christian life will be a daily circle of you receiving the forgiveness of all of your sins by your God. And so I want you then today to recognize God's work in your life. Recognize and understand where you are in this circle of your Christian life. I command you by God and Christ Jesus to go. Go out and love your neighbor. Go out and give grace to your neighbor. But then as your pastor, I also command you to know and understand that your God forgives you all of your sins, your shortcomings, and your inability to do the things you are called to do. Dear friend, your sins are forgiven. Don't forget that. And when you do forget that, read it again and again and again. And then continue loving God and loving your neighbor as Christ has called you to do. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever, and may His peace be with you always. Amen. Dearly beloved, as we purpose to come to the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should carefully examine ourselves as St. Paul exhorts us. For this holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort and strengthening of those who humbly confess their sins and who hunger and thirst after righteousness. But if we do examine ourselves, we shall find nothing in us but sin and death from which we cannot set ourselves free. Therefore, our Lord Jesus has had mercy on us and has taken on Himself our nature, that He might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and for our deliverance suffer death and all that we through our sins deserve. And to the end that we should confidently believe this and be strengthened by our faith, He has instituted the holy sacrament of His supper, in which He feeds us with His body and gives us to drink of His blood. Therefore, whoever eats of this bread and drinks of this cup, firmly believing the words of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him, and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, of his death, and how he was delivered for our sins and raised for our justification. And with grateful hearts, we should take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another even as he has loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are partakers of this one bread and drink of this one cup. Therefore, let us stand as we pray the prayer that he has taught us in preparation to receive this supper. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had eaten and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The elements are prepared. The table is set. You may be seated. As you are brought forward by the ushers, come and receive the supper. If there is a mobility issue and you are not able to make it up, please let the ushers know, because I will give it to you where you are. Communion is a gift no matter what.
Thank you.
Let us give thanks and pray. We thank you, Almighty and everlasting God, for having refreshed us with these, your gracious gifts. We ask for your infinite mercy, strengthen our Christian faith, support us in the trials of life, and make us fervent in love for you and for our fellow men. Through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord. Amen. Receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will invite you to stand as we sing together number 187, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.